Shabbat Shalom. This parsha is Nesavim. It's found in Deuteronomy 29:9 through 30:20. Oftentimes, it's associated with an additional portion, but not this year. Okay, so this begins when Moses gathers together every member of the Jewish people or the house of Israel for the last time, to initiate them into the eternal covenant with Hashem, or the Father, or God. We'll start off with the first verses. Deuteronomy 29:9. Carefully follow the terms of this covenant, so that you may prosper in everything you do. All of you are standing today in the presence of the Lord your God, your leaders and chief men, your elders and officials, and all the other men of Israel, together with your children and your wives and the foreigners living in your camps, the ones who chop your wood and carry your water. You are standing here in order to enter into a covenant with the Lord your God, a covenant the Lord is making with you this day and sealing with an oath, to confirm to you this day as his people that he may be your God, as he has promised you, and as he swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who is also called Israel. I am making this covenant with its oath, not only with you, who are standing here today with us in the presence of the Lord our God, but also with those who are not here today. Okay, so what's going on here? Who's the covenant with? It's with the children of Israel, those who were with them who were not born into the house of Israel, and those who were not there at that time. There are more than just Jews or, you know, Israelites present. Other people came out of Egypt with them, and those who agreed to the covenant were grafted in and were included. They came under the same rules and regulations and the blessings and the cursings as did the house of Israel. In fact, Caleb, they say, depending on who you want to read and where you research, was not actually born into the house of Israel. He was a descendant of Esau. But because he agreed to the covenant and agreed to live as an Israelite, he was grafted in. So what about those who are not here today? Who are these people? It's more than just future generations of Israel and those who are with them. It's also referring to those who would be grafted in, commonly called Gentiles. And Gentiles are actually not just non-Jews. Okay, it's actually referring to people who are out of the covenant. Okay, and did you realize that out of the 12 tribes of Israel, that only one's Jewish? When you think about it, it really is, even though we use those words interchangeably. To be a Jew, you were from the house of Judah. Okay, Reubenites were from the house of Reuben, Benjamites were from the house of Benjamin, and so forth. Later on, when you read what was going on with Solomon, the kingdom of Israel was torn away from Solomon. And this was, you know, one of the curses that God had said would happen when they were breaking his covenant. 10 tribes were torn away, leaving just Judah and Benjamin and some of in the southern kingdom of Judah, along with some of the Levites. And the rest were the northern kingdom of Israel. Because the Levites had no land, you know, they, you know, either stayed or they went with Judah to where the temple was and continued their services in the temple. When God scattered the nation of Israel, or the northern tribe, they became so infused with the heathen nations that nobody but God himself could even distinguish them from anybody else. Judah, however, remained intact, even though they were rebellious, because God promised David that his throne would be established forever. When Yeshua came, he made the statement that he was come to redeem the lost sheep of Israel, or the descendants of Jacob. Okay, and one day soon the entire house of Israel and Judah will be reunited and all Israel will be saved. The covenant was always with God's chosen people, and those of us who are grafted in are in that covenant. So let's go on. Deuteronomy 30 and 10. If you obey the Lord your God and keep his commandments and decrees that are written in this book of the law, and turn to the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. Now, what I'm commanding you today is not too difficult or beyond your reach. It is not in heaven, so that you have to ask, who will ascend to heaven and get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it? Nor is it beyond the sea, so that you have to ask, who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it? Deuteronomy 13 and 30 and 14. No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart, so you may obey it. This reminds me of Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10. If you will confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Let's go on a little further. Deuteronomy 30 and 15. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. The choice is yours. Choose life or choose death. For I command you today to love the Lord your God and to walk in obedience to him and to keep his commandments, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. God said obeying him was doable. It was something you can do. It's not too hard. You can do it. Yeshua said in Matthew 11:30, for my yoke is easy. It's easy to bear, and the burdens I give you are light. But in coming to the Messiah and take his yoke, they had to submit to his authority. Remember, a yoke wasn't just something you carried around. A yoke was something that was put on you and then controlled by a set of reins, and it had a driver. Who's holding the reins of your yoke today? It's Yeshua, if you're in him. How many times have you come across someone who said that they're a believer and they're purposely doing wrong, and when you confront them, they say something like, well, we're all under grace, thinking they can do anything they want, and God won't do anything. Further back in the parasha, God mentioned people that would say, yeah, I accept the covenant, but then they do as they please, and that they would be cursed. So that kind of lifestyle, that kind of thinking, is pretty stupid. Even an 8-year-old can figure that out. John 14 and 15, Yeshua said, if you love me, what? Keep my commandments. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10, if you don't, you realize that those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of God. Don't fool yourself. Those who indulge in sexual sin or worship false idols or commit adultery or are male prostitutes or practice homosexuality, or are thieves, or greedy people, or drunkards, or who are abusive or cheap people, none of these will enter the kingdom of heaven. They're out of the covenant. Remember back when Moses told the people not to fear that they will be unable to live up to the Torah's expectations, assuring that the commandments are neither distant nor inaccessible. A life of Torah is well within everyone's reach, as we just said. Yeshua put it in Matthew 22:36-40. A man said, teacher, what is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Yeshua replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. And thinking on the Ten Commandments, if you do those two, you're not going to break the other ten. This portion concludes with encouraging the people to choose the Torah and life over the alternative of evil and death. God always punished sin and rebellion. And several times in Scripture, God finally had enough. Now, he put them over to the enemy, turned the Israel and its people over to Babylon. they'd come back, they'd be all right for a while, and something else would go wrong, they'd mess up again, and he'd let them go back into captivity and back and forth and back and forth. But we know that nobody else ever was or ever can be justified by keeping the law or trying to keep the law. Nobody. But before Yeshua came, the sins of the people were rolled ahead with various sacrifices, looking forward to the cross and the final sacrificial lamb. Salvation is not based on keeping the law, but in Yeshua. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ or Yeshua, our Lord. Shabbat shalom.